Blog Talk Radio.
But this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. And today we're going to do it a little different. I am going to, after I welcome in the Holy Spirit, then I will come with the word for the first hour. After that, then I will do the music and prayers. Amen? At 7 p.m. But after I welcome in the Holy Spirit, then I will I'm changing it up a little bit for today because our speaker is not going to be with us this evening for our Bible study. So I'm going to bring a word from the Lord for the first hour of this program. And after the second hour, then I will do the sweet hour of prayer. Praise be to God. And you can, okay, so that's what I'm going to do. And welcome again. And at this time, I'm going to say a short prayer and welcome in the Holy Spirit. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit on this holy week of Easter. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth your message this day, I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. Father God, I pray for the increase of our congregation. Father God, I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. And Father God, I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. Father God, I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations receive deliverance. And Father God, I pray for those that are lost in darkness receive the light of your salvation. And Father God, we thank you for supplying our every need. And Father God, all these blessings we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play a selection, and after the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. For Your Glory by Paul Martin.
Just to see you, Lord, to behold
For you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 18 through 25. Amen. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 18 through 25. And I will be reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, the wisdom of God. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved now, know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intellect, of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And verse 25 says, this foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Amen. Praise God. So here, Paul is summarizing Isaiah 29 and 14 to emphasize a point Jesus often made. God's way of thinking is not like the world's way. Normal human wisdom. And God offers eternal life, which the world can never give. Now, we can spend a lifetime accumulating wisdom and yet never learn how to have a personal relationship with God. Amen? We must come to the crucified and risen Christ to receive eternal life and the joy of a personal relationship with our Savior. Now, many Jews considered the good news of Jesus Christ to be foolish because they thought the Messiah would be a conquering king accompanied by signs and miracles. Jesus had not restored David's throne as they expected. Besides, he was executed as a criminal. And how could a criminal be a savior? Greeks, too, considered the good news foolish. They did not believe in a bodily resurrection. They did not see in Jesus the powerful characteristics of their mythological gods. And they thought no reputable person would be crucified. To them, death was defeated, not victory. The good news of Jesus Christ still sounds foolish to many. Our society worships power, influence, and wealth. Jesus came as a humble, poor servant, and he offers his kingdom to those who have faith, not to those who do all kinds of good deeds to try to earn salvation. This looks foolish to the world, but Christ is the mighty power of God. The only way we can be saved, knowing Christ personally, is the greatest wisdom anyone can have. The message of Christ's death for sin sounds foolish to those who don't believe. Death seems to be the end of the road, the ultimate weakness. But Jesus did not stay dead. His resurrection demonstrated his power even over death. And he will save us from eternal death and give us everlasting life if we trust him as Savior and Lord. This sounds so simple that many people won't accept it. They try other ways to obtain eternal life, being good, being wise, etc., etc., and etc. But all their attempts are futile. The foolish people who simply accept Christ's offer are actually the wisest of all, because they alone will live eternally with God. Amen. Praise God. On the horizon of history, many mountains peak tower high. There is Mount Sinai, where God's people Israel received the law. There is Mount Tabor, where the stars in their courses fought against Sierra, Judges 5:20. There is Mount Carmel, where Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal, and God answered by fire. There is Mount Hermon, the probable mountain of the Transfiguration, but above them all is Mount Calvary. No mountain towers so high in its influence on people's hearts and minds as that skull-shaped cone outside the city wall of Jerusalem. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18 in the NIV Bible, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The gospel is essentially the story of the cross, and that story is God's message to the world. The message of the cross has never lost its power. The cross was a divine event. I'll have to mute you because the background. Praise God. My text for this message is coming from 1 Corinthians 1 and 18 in the NIV Bible says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Amen. And my title for this message is The Message of the Cross. And tonight my message is divided into three parts. The first one is the cross is God's supreme declaration of humankind. In Hebrews 1:1-2, God has many ways of speaking to people, but his supreme way is in the cross. Praise be to God. The cross is God's declaration of man's guilt. Here, the sin debt of the human race is fully computed. The bankruptcy of humankind is vividly portrayed. Christ's death, the most undeserved and cruelest conceivable, epitomize the tragic condition of humanity. And remember, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 3, in the NIV says, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. The great Catholic scholar John M. Osterreicher said, "Anyone who denies his part in the crucifixion also thereby excludes himself from any need of or share in the redemption," quoted by George W. Cornell in The Way and Its Ways. We might memorize and philosophize about it, about sin. But the only way to grasp its enormity is to see what it does. A man was driving while drunk with his wife and two young children in the car. Though his wife pleaded with him to slow down, he would not heed. He wrecked the car and killed his wife and two children. Yet he survived almost unscathed. 2 days later, as he stood by the three caskets side by side in the funeral home, he said, "Never did I realize how awful my sin is until I see now what it has done." Before the gaze of a sin-wrecked world, God raises the cross of his Son, and the first declaration of that cross is guilty. The cross is God's declaration of man's helplessness. Amen? Now, we just finished man's guilt. Now, we're into man's helplessness. If people could have atoned for their sin and guilt in any way, the cross would have been unnecessary. But they could not. Jesus died on the cross because people had been rendered helpless by their sin. Morality and good works are not enough to settle humankind's debt of sin. As the Israelites, bitten by the fiery serpents in the wilderness, had to confess their helplessness by looking to the uplifted brazen serpent, so must we confess our helplessness by looking to the uplift Christ. Each one of us is not only guilty before God, but helpless to do anything about it. Praise God. The cross is the power of God offered to powerless sinners. The cross is God's declaration of his justice. The nature of humankind's sin called for the most drastic action. That drastic action was God's taking the penalty of our sin on himself through Christ's death on the cross. If God were to blot out our sins and remember them no more, he was faced with a problem. How could the law be satisfied and his forgiving mercy be made possible at the same time? The law says in Ezekiel 18:4, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." In Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." There was only one way possible, and that was for someone who had no sin of his own to die in our place. Only the sinless Son of God met that requirement, and he died for us. Hallelujah. The cross is God's declaration of his love. As we look back, man's guilt, man's helplessness, his man's justice, and now God's declaration of his love. Man's sin without God's love would not have sent Jesus to the cross. God could have dealt with our sin some other way. He had not been for, had it not been for God's great love, he could have destroyed sin by destroying all sinners. But his love sought to save sinners from their sins. The cross was the only remedy, as the cross measures the enormity of our guilt. It also measures the depth of God's love. Pilate chose the words for the sign that hung on the cross in John 19 and 19, where it says, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He should have written, for God so loved the world, John 3 and 16. The cross of Christ stands as a supreme declaration of God's love for a guilty world. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
No, wait a moment. Sorry. Keep my sister now putting on the...
Praise God. The cross is God's supreme offer to man. By the cross, God, in his love, offered his hand to people in their sin. The message of the cross is the word of life. It is the message of salvation to all who believe. Botanist tells of a certain plant in the West Indies called the Mancini. It exudes a substance extremely poisonous to the human touch, producing a terrifying rash and skin eruption. Fortunately, in this same locality, a plentiful an effective antidote is available, praise be to God. This remedy is the sap of a certain fig that is secured by brushing the body of the fig tree. All people have sinned. We have touched the poison plant of sin. But by faith, we each can have access to the tree of healing. The cross is that tree of healing. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the Bible, God's offers of love and healing is made plain. The captain of an old sailing vessel lay dying in his cabin, knowing that his ship was too far from port to reach it before he died. He asked if any member of the crew had a Bible. The cabin boy, the only crew member so equipped, was brought to the captain. Looking at the boy with the Bible in his hand, the dying man asked in Isaiah 53, "Son, can you find something in that book that will help an old sinner who is soon to meet his maker. Quickly, turning to Isaiah 53, the lad read it through slowly. The captain listened intently and finally said, "That's pretty, but I'm not sure I understand what it means." Then this boy, with his mother's Bible in his hand, became the old man's teacher. "Sir," he said, "if you will repent after me as I read again, I believe you will understand." He read the chapter again, changing only one word. "Surely he hath bore my grief and carried my sorrows, but he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed." Suddenly, the old man, who had been following with a weakening voice, broke in to say, "Wait a minute, lad, I think I have it. He was wounded for my transgressions, and with his stripes I am healed." "That's it. I see it all now, lad. Jesus took my place on the cross, and he offered me salvation." The captain had caught the message of the cross, and accepting its offer, he had experienced the saving power of the cross of Christ. Praise be to God. The cross is God's supreme power among us, among men. The cross endures. The cross of Christ knows no failure. For many centuries, the force of hell have loosed all their fury against it, but still it stands, the mightiest power among humankind. The cross attracts. The message of the cross is still the most engaging message ever proclaimed. Rhetoric and philosophy and the wisdom of the world all grow stale, but the sincere proclamation of the simple story of the cross remains wondrously new and continues to attract our interest and attention. John 12:32. The cross has power. The cross has drawing power. It has lifting power. It is the spiritual magnet of the world. The cross draws us from empty creeds and lifts us up out of our sins. The cross is timeless. It is timeless in its appeal. The message of the cross is old, yet it is new in its relevance, its urgency, It attracts people when all else fails. The cross changes people. It transformed Simon, the fisherman, into Peter, the rock. It changed Saul, the persecutor of the church, into Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, in a garden in Midland, Aridus, Augustine of Tagus was mighty, converted, and became the saintly scholar of the fourth century. The ruggish and dissolute son of Pietro Bernardin became the beloved Francis of Assisi. After John Wesley's heart was strangely warmed in a meeting at Elders Gate Street, he was used of God to turn England upside down in a country Baptist church in Clay County, North Carolina. George W. Truett was converted and became one of the most effective preachers of his time. Praise be to God. You see, Paul had been bred up in Jewish learning, but the plain preaching of a crucified Jesus was more powerful than all the orators and philosophers of the heathen world. This is the sum and substance of the gospel. Christ crucified is the foundation of all our hopes, the fountain of all our joys. By his death we live. The preaching of salvation for lost sinners by suffering and death of the Son of God. If explained and faithfully applied, appears foolishness to those in the way up to destruction. The sensual, the converts, the proud, the ambitious alike see the gospel opposes their favorite pursuit, but those who receive the gospel are enlightened by the Spirit of God, see more of God's wisdom and power in the doctrine of Christ crucified than in all his other works. God left a great part of the world to follow the dictates of man's boasted reason. And the event has shown that human wisdom is folly and is unable to find or retain the knowledge of God as the Creator. It pleased him by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, by the foolishness of preaching, not by what could justly be called foolish preaching, but by the things preached was foolishness to worldly wisely men. The gospel ever was and ever will be foolishness to all in the road to destruction. The message of Christ, plainly delivered, ever has been a sure touchstone by which men may learn what road they are traveling. But the despised doctrine of salvation by faith in a crucified Savior, God in human nature, purchasing the church with his own blood to save multitudes, even all that believe, from ignorance, delusions, and vice, has been instruments God uses, a stronger in their effect than the strongest men can use. Not that there is foolishness or weakness in God, but what men considered as such overcomes all their admired wisdom and strength. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say that no other religion can have the power of Christianity, because no other religion is built around a cross. With this message of humankind, guilt and helplessness, and God's redeeming love, may we always preach Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2, where it says, "For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified." Praise be to God. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to do so, my brothers and sisters, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of faith after me. And it says, "Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen." And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing that you have to do is to find yourself a good Bible-based church. Amen? And I want to leave you with these words from Jude 24:25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I do hope and pray that and that every let everything that has breath praise the Lord. All you big things, bless the Lord. Mount Comangio and Lake Victoria, the Rift Valley and the Sargeddit Plains, Fat Barbados and shady mango trees, all eucalyptus and Taryn Tree. Bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him forever and ever. All you tiny things, bless the Lord. Busy black ants and hopping fleas, wiggling tadpoles and mosquito lava, flying locusts and water drops, pollen dust and testy flies, millet seeds and dry corn, bless the Lord. Praise and extol him forever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And at this time, I will play another selection.
Thank you. and permeates all my soul. Love of God overflowing my heart and permeates all my soul. Oh, my soul is yours. Oh,
a faithful steward, a one-minute inspiration for all women. From basic necessities to cars, from supporting causes to vacation, the way we handle money reveals a lot. What has God entrusted to you? Do you have food in your cupboards and decent clothes for the family? Are you able to buy some luxuries such as jewelry and going out to dinner? Financial responsibilities is part of what God calls you to. The issue it's in how much or how little wealth you have, but how faithful a steward you are of what he has given you. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. I encourage you to do a Bible study on the numerous scriptures that give wise advice on handling money and put into practice what you learn. As you live for the Lord's purpose and by his principles, you'll find contentment. Let us pray. Father, show me how you want me to spend my money. Open my eyes to the needs of people you want me to help. I want to find the right balance between providing for my family and helping others. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection. Today. And our grace for today is entitled Inconceivable Grace. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. And it says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Lord, my God, I glorify and praise your holy name. Your love knows no boundaries. I meditate on your promises. May your precious words become part of my thoughts, life, and conduct. Stand by me through the Holy Spirit so that I will always have a warm heart for others, so that I may perform the true service of love in your name and to your glory. Let me never forget how dependent I am on you. I will always hold firmly onto your hand and so inherit the king, your kingdom. Praise be to God. Lord, soften my heart to others so I may glorify your name. I ask for all this through the blood of Jesus, my Savior and Redeemer. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Can Bible says in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40, says, you should love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And second, you should love your neighbor as yourself. You know, you don't have to look far to find your neighbor, because right here in church, someone is hurting. All you have to do is throw your arms around them and open up your heart and let Jesus come in.
Want to share a prayers for women at this time. And the title is Don't Be Envious. Romans 13:13 in the New King James Version says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in rivalry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. In a competitive, cutthroat world, it is easy to become envious of others' success. But it's wrong. We know intuitively that envy is wrong. But because we are frail, imperfect human beings, we may find ourselves struggling with feelings of envy or resentment or both. Now, these feelings may be especially forceful when we see other people experiencing unusually good fortune. Have you recently felt the pangs of envy creeping into your heart? If so, it's time to focus on the marvelous things that God has done for you and your family. And just as importantly, you must refrain from preoccupying yourself with the blessings that God has chosen to give others. Amen? So here's a surefire formula for a happier, healthy life. Count your own blessings and let your neighbors count theirs. It's the godly way to live. Discontent dries up the soul. What God acts, does, or requires of others is not my business. It is his. We might occasionally be able to change our circumstances, but only God can change our hearts. To love involves trusting and belonged beyond Amen. Okay. Yes. Belongs. Got a little mixed up there. Amen. So, business. What we might occasionally be able to change our circumstance, but only God can change our hearts. To love involves trusting the beloved beyond the evidence, even against much evidence. No man is our friend who believes in our good intentions only when they are proved. No man is our friend who will not be very slow to accept evidence against them. Such confidence between one man and another is in fact almost universally praised as a mortal beauty, not blamed as a local error, and the suspicious man is blamed for a meanness of character, not admired for the excellence of his logic. Here's the thought. Envy is a sin. Plus, it's a major league waste of time and energy. So get over it. In Exodus 20 and 17, in the CSB Bible says, do not covet your neighbor's house or anything that belongs to your neighbor. In Psalms 37 and 8, in the New Living Translation says, stop your anger. Turn from your rage. Do not envy others. It only leads to harm. Galatians 5 and 26 in the CSB says, we must not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Romans 8 and 6 in the CSB says, for the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the spirit is life and peace. Amen. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, deliver us from the needless pain of envy. You have given us countless blessings. Let us be thankful for the gifts we have received, and let us never be resentful of the gifts you have given others. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. And at this time, I will play another selection. Oh, Devotional message, amen, which is entitled When We Fail. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from 2 Timothy 2 and 13, and it says, if we are faithless, we remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Praise be to God. I'll read that again. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Praise be to God. 2 Timothy 2 and 13. As Jesus was arrested and taken to trial. Peter denied knowing him 3 times in Matthew 26:69-75. Undoubtedly, this was a very low point in the disciples' life. However, if we're honest, we can relate to feeling such intense fear and confusion that we doubt God, even renouncing what we know about his loving character, unfathomable wisdom, and resurrection power that can set everything right. Certainly, Peter felt his faith failure. As deeply as you and I might, but what we need to see is that Jesus did not deny knowing him, and he doesn't reject us either. While God doesn't want us to yield to temptation, he knows we're not perfect, and there will be times when we stumble. But he doesn't want our failures to define us. Amen? Instead, he wants us to set our focus on him. After the resurrection, one of the finest things Jesus did was to reassure Peter of his eternal love and purpose. God's plan for Peter's life had not changed, and it does not for you either. You remain a beneficiary of his endless grace and eternal love. Therefore, if you have failed, do not give up or be discouraged. Jesus will never give up on you. Let him restore you. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. When we fail, let us pray. Jesus, thank you for not giving up on us. Restore us and help us walk in your will. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. And now at this time, I will play another selection.
And is able. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able, amen. He's able. My God is able. Yes, I know. I come. God is able. Sing unto them, heaven. I came to let you know that my God is able, yeah, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able. I came to let you know tonight, it's part of what you're going through, that my God is able, able to set you free. Oh, yes, my God is able. Yeah, 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 yeah. I came to let you know. He is able, whatever you're going through tonight, just remember, my God is able.
That my God is able. Yes, my God is able. I come to let you know. You see, I'm trying to for myself, and I know that He's able to heal you now. Yes, my God. I don't know what you're going through, but let me tell you a little bit about what I've been through. Yeah. See, I've been homeless, yeah. Didn't know where I was going to rest my head, but God is bigger.
Your neighbor telling me, say, able. Come on, say, he's able. Yes, he is.
No matter what you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose. And is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord. Call on his name. Cause he's able. Cause he's able. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God is able. Able to release you, able to set you free, able to heal you, yeah. Able to deliver you, able to rescue you, able to hold you up, able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is able to provide, yeah. He is able to make way out of no way. God, I make something out of nothing. Hallelujah, he's the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is, yes he is. Oh, I know, I come to let you know that my God is able. Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I say hallelujah, hallelujah, he is worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise, somebody give him glory, give him worship. We worship you, Lord, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, oh, there is none like you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise, we give you glory, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. You able, Lord. You able, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. You are able, Lord. And now it is time for our devotional message in Hardworking Women. And the title of this message is Living Fearlessly. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms 23, verse 4 in the ESV Bible, and it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amen. Fear is such a strong feeling. There are times when fear can absolutely debilitate us, leaving us unable to function at our normal capacity. And even when we go to God for help and direction, sometimes our instincts automatically kick in and trigger a fight or flight response for the body. There are other times we fear the future and the plans he has for us. It's in these moments that we can choose to fear the unknown or choose to live fearlessly. When you are experiencing fear of any kind, remember what God says about fear. In 2 Timothy 1 and 7, In the ESV Bible, he says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Praise be to God." And Joshua 1 and 9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen. Praise. You got this. God reminds us throughout Scripture that he's always with us, and we should not fear or live with anxiety. He already has it taken care of. He knew each of us before we were born, and his plans are good. You got this. Do you fear God's plan for you? How about asking God to give you the faith you need to trust him? Or asking him to erase your fears and fill your mind with peace instead? After all, most of the things we worry about never happen. Let God's life-giving words soothe your fears. You got this. A lot of us live with fear and anxiety each day. It doesn't go away overnight. When you find yourself letting fear and anxiety creep in to situations you're struggling to deal with, remember what God wants us to know from his word. Let his powerful words wash over you and calm you, putting your trust in him and casting your worries and fears out to sea. When you start living in his light and glory over fear, your heart and soul will be calm, even in the strongest storm. Amen. You got this. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
My head, gentlemen, my sister, see.
Tonight.